I know I'm not the one who thought she knew back in high school.
Never going. Never showing up.
Attention that we crave. Don't tell us to behave.
I'm sick of always hearing at your age.
I don't want to waste my time.
Become another casualty of society.
And I'll never fall in line.
Become another victim of your conformity. And back down.
That was pretty good.
It was good.
That was really good.
I enjoyed that.
So welcome to the Live Christianly podcast. This is episode 2.
Attention podcast listeners. We had originally intended this to be a single episode, but it turned out to be long enough for 2 episodes.
It was pretty long.
It was long. So what we're going to do is this episode is going to be the first part of what we had originally planned, and then the next episode, which will be episode number 3, will be almost exclusively the interview with Jacob about gaming and all that good stuff.
It's me.
Hey, Jacob. That's you. Hi, Jacob.
See what you did there? That was Mario.
It was.
It was good.
Or I can do the Link. Yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah. Slightly less recognizable. So anyway, we're without further ado, we'll take you into the first part of what would be our next podcast. Two episodes under our belt. Elijah, how does it feel?
Feels great. I'd like to thank my mother and my father, because if they weren't here, then I wouldn't exist. And
that's true.
Christianly might not exist.
In a very real way.
Very real sense.
Yes. My name is Dan. As you just heard, Elijah he is sitting across the table from me today.
Yes,
and next to both of us is Elijah's brother, Jacob. So if you hear vocal similarities, this is the reason.
He's a special guest star on the podcast.
That's right.
Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
I'm glad to be here.
A good friend of mine, obviously brother of Elijah. And aside from his day job, he is a novice game designer. So that's going to come up a little bit later in the episode. We're going to take some time, ask him some questions about gaming, video games, some stuff about how, as we mentioned in episode 0, about kind of how his faith relates to gaming, his opinions on stuff. So it should be a good time. Pretty interesting.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited, too.
All right. Sweet. Yeah. That's really good. That's
I like excellent. Talking about games.
Yeah. All right. Me, too. I like listening. I can't talk very much about them because I don't know a ton. But
I just like Mario and Zelda.
I was really good at Tetris for a couple years.
Have you ever beat Tetris?
You can beat Tetris.
I beat Tetris once.
Filthy you can't casuals. Beat Tetris. You're a liar.
Can't you? I did. No, it's like 15 levels or something like that, right?
What were we
Tetris?
I actually don't know. It's like, I don't know.
He calls himself a professional gamer. No, like, legit, I don't know if maybe this was just the phone version of the game or whatever, but I beat the game. It was like, congratulations, you win. Because you have to get 10
It was
rows.
On your phone?
Yeah. It was like,
so this was
legit.
The original, like, handheld Tetris.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like the legit one. Like, there was just this gamer event called Awesome Games Done Quick.
You filthy casual.
A Tetris gamer played that game all the way through to like where they were falling the what are they called, the tetranimos, whatever, the Tetris pieces
like
were falling down at like light speed, and they were completely invisible, and he beat it, and now he's like the new Tetris Grandmaster. That's like the legit term for it.
Well, so, I beat the real Tetris, the one that's on the iPhone 4.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what the level count difference is on those two.
I definitely had one as a kid that was like a little keychain one, and it was more than 15 levels. So I'm feeling like you might have gotten gypped into this artificial false feeling of satisfaction.
This is not the podcast is not supposed to be an intervention. I'm just supposed to have gone in my merry way thinking I beat Tetris.
I just want to point out that if in fact that this guy the Tetris blocks were moving at light speed, that would in fact be 299,792,458 meters per second, which is pretty incredible.
Well, if you look up the video, it's like maybe half light speed.
Oh, half of this. Okay. So not quite as impressive.
It's warp speed, basically.
Yeah, you basically were way better than this guy in your
so much
Tetrising. So, sweet. Hey, Elijah, why don't you got a couple things to share Is there something strange
something
in our...
clicking in the background. I wonder if they can even hear that.
Yeah, we might have drawn attention to the heater turning on, and nobody in the podcast world will.
Anyway,
podcast listeners, it is not a bomb. Not an explosive device.
Well, maybe. It's a really old heater.
We hope. If this episode airs, you will know that we have not blown up.
Yes.
At the hands of a radiator.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully.
Well, hopefully.
Anyway, so what were you?
I was just going to say, you have a couple things you want to share about stuff you've been involved in recently.
Yes. A little while ago, I don't know if any of you podcast listeners have heard of a guy named David G. McAfee. He's an atheist and recently kind of rising up the ranks in new atheism. And he wrote a book called Disproving Christianity and Other Secular Writings is what that book is called. He wrote something else.
Admittedly, I had not heard that actually until you had started this endeavor.
Right.
So you are not alone, podcast listeners, if that is you.
Right, and I guess that's kind of why I'm doing what I'm about to explain, is that I've started a blog called Disproving McAfee, and the reason being that he has a book called Disproving Christianity. To me, personally, it was basically a whole book full of horrible arguments, and not horrible in the regular sense of horrible as in, like, oh, it's just not so good, but like actually legit fallacious ways of thinking. But the problem is that if he was just any normal run-of-the-mill atheist, that'd be whatever, but he is gaining in popularity. I don't have his Facebook page up here now, but it's something like 60,000 people like his page. And on a regular basis, people are loving on everything he says, and he'll take screenshots of people of what they've commented on his page, and he'll take a kind of a cheap shot. He probably wouldn't call it a cheap shot, and usually it's not necessarily a cheap shot, but it's so, sort of this like self-righteous kind of refutation of this thing. So what he tends to do is he takes the worst arguments possible for Christianity: the blind faith, leap in the dark, the earth was made yesterday kind of Christianity,
dust on the moon, why do monkeys still exist kind of stuff.
Exactly. He's actually addressed that a couple times, and he will just refute that and then assume that he's refuted historic Christianity, basically. Mm-hmm. All of Christendom, you know, with the people who've pioneered the scientific method and things like that. Oh, he refuted all of them because he disproved this very stupid idea about dust on the moon.
So this is a guy that I hadn't heard about him, but I'd heard about this book that he'd put out called Mom, Dad, I'm an Atheist.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that was the same guy that was...
Yeah.
Not too long ago that he published that.
And, as far as from my perspective, my job is I do marketing. At least part of my job is marketing. And he's doing everything right in the field of marketing. He is a young, relatively good-looking guy. Yes, Dave, if you're listening to this, you are a decently good-looking guy. And he is saying things that people want to hear.
You compliment his good looks.
Yeah, and then his horrible arguments.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Dave McAfee. Yeah, so he's a young, good-looking guy with, you know, a bright future ahead of him, and he's written a couple of books, and one of them is self-published, and he's saying things that people want to hear. They don't like the idea of religion, a lot of them, and he just says these things that are intuitively kind of obvious. But the problem is that they're all wrong. So he's doing marketing right, especially social media marketing, and he is on the rise up, I think. And so what I wanted to do was just kind of do what I could do to kind of put a stop to that, because honestly, he can get as famous as he wants. That's fine. But I don't want people thinking this crap is what passes for good scholarship. In his book, he actually asks the question, can God create a rock so big that he can't lift it? That is a legit nonsense question. If I ask you, what does the color 7 smell like? It's the same type of thing.
Mm.
It's a nonsense question.
Oh,
because it's what
like
it's doing.
Rich mahogany, right? It smells like a rich mahogany.
Yeah, exactly. The color 7. Yeah. So, but this argument is basically I'm not going to get into the refutation, but it's a nonsense question. So I've started this blog, and the funny thing was is he picked it up within the first 2 days. I think it was.
Yeah,
and
it was quick.
Yeah, and it's called disprovingmcafee.wordpress.com is the site. And the first day that I had it, second day I had it up, first day I had 0 views. The second day had 5,114 views with 1,894 visitors and 2.7 views per visitor.
But now, like, that can't possibly have been due to the fact that he
posted it on his
on his
Facebook site.
Certainly that spike in traffic wouldn't have been from that.
No, it's purely coincidental.
Yeah, okay.
The funny thing was, side note, he actually put one up a thing called Do Not Link, which basically made it so that anytime someone clicked on the link, it would not give me what's called Google juice. So it's basically this sort of like underhanded kind of...
So your site wouldn't like rise in Google search ranking. Like people wouldn't come across it more easily because he posted it.
Right. Right. Which is, as a marketing person, I'm just like, okay, I see. It's sort of like just a gut punch. Just a real quick gut punch. But anyway, so through them, through this Disproving McAfee thing, I actually started listening to this new podcast called The Freed Thinker. It's by this guy named Tyler Vaila. He actually went through Disproving Christianity and thoroughly dismantled it in what was going to be published as a book, but it was published as a PDF, and you can get that on his website. I think it's – I have to look up his website, but we'll put a link in the show notes. But the he did it and wasn't able to be published, so he put it in, I think, a 6 or 7-part podcast, and it is amazing. And if you're looking for a very – pointed overview of new atheists, horrible arguments, because that's really what this book is.
Tell us how you really
feel. Listen to, it's worse than Richard Dawkins, and I don't mean that to be like a compliment, obviously, but it doesn't even
friend of the show,
the level
Richard
of
Dawkins.
Friend of the show, Richard Dawkins. It's just horrible. Anyway, so The Freed Thinker, though, I listen to, I think, 90% of what he has already put up, and it's super good. He has this, like, a back and forth with some people from a couple other atheist podcasts, and he's very philosophical in his thinking. But, if you're interested, if you want a crash course in apologetics, and listen to those episodes. And, you know, if Tyler, if you're listening to this, hey, how's it going?
Be a friend of the show.
Be a friend of the show. Yeah.
You're in good company.
Yeah, precisely.
By the way, podcast listeners, I have to apologize because last episode, if you've heard it, we made reference to the Four Horsemen of atheism.
Yeah.
And Elijah kindly pointed out this last week that it was I think it was the fourth one.
Yeah, Christopher Hitchens.
Christopher Hitchens. And I tagged friend of the show afterwards. Now, friends and family of Christopher Hitchens, I deeply apologize. I am not well read up on my atheists, and so I was unaware, actually up until the moment where I was editing our podcast, and then I realized why Elijah was laughing. He was actually laughing at me, not because I just said friend of the show, but because I just referred to someone who had passed away as a friend of the show.
Yeah.
So I am sincerely sorry.
I just
however,
kind of glossed over that. I was like, well, let's not talk about that.
So, but if he were still with us, we would like, obviously, that he be a friend of the show.
Yeah, he was a cool dude.
Yeah.
He had some decisive wit. Incisive wit. He's probably decisive, too.
But could he beat Tetris?
That's a good question.
Like speed.
Like speed. These are the real questions we should be asking.
Okay, anyway, so Dan, I hear you had a little bit of something you want to tell us.
Yeah, I have a couple things that I want to share that I've been watching, listening to recently, that sort of thing. First, have either of you guys ever watched the show Parenthood?
No, never seen it.
Okay, have you heard about it at all?
Yes, heard of it, not watched it.
A couple people that I've talked with recently have heard about it, and I just recently got into it. I guess the show has been around for several years already. But it just came up in my recommendations feed on the Netflix. So
the Netflix.
Yeah.
Like Twitter.
The Twitter, yes. but I had actually never watched this show before. And I was like, okay, well, Amanda and I were looking for something new to get into. We kind of pick a show that we'll focus on and watch our way through. And so this popped up in our feed, and I'm like, hey, that sounds good. You know, let's give it a shot, you know, watch an episode. And I think we're currently, like, probably most of the way into the third season now. And I got to tell you, this show just wrecks me. Absolutely. Like,
Like a wrecking ball?
Like a wrecking ball. The show, it came in like a wrecking ball. Podcast listeners, we sincerely apologize for that.
Side note, have you seen the video where there's a guy, like a construction worker man, and he's on a tiny little wrecking ball without a shirt on? He's like a wrecking ball.
We'll put a link
in the show notes. Yes.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, no, so the show is, it's really amazing. So the reason I love it so much is because, so you watch a lot of TV nowadays, and you guys may have experienced this with other things that you watch, and a lot of times, like, there's, like, shows are built on conflict a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be honest, conflict is the kind of stuff that's what brings people in, you know, because it's way more interesting. Who would really want to watch a show that was about perfectly lived, normal, everyday life that just fell into place?
That's what Breaking Bad was about, right?
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure. I don't remember any murder happening in that show.
No.
It was all fine. Nobody did drugs.
Chemistry. Yeah. Some chemistry. Learning. It was very educational.
It was a very educational show.
Educational.
I now know how to sell meth.
Do you?
No.
Why are we trying to do this?
Sorry. Because I can't make it.
Oh, okay.
I have a biology degree, not a chemistry degree. Come on.
But this show is honestly like, it's what I would wish for almost in every other show. So you watch a lot of programs on TV, and the problem resolution is really unrealistic. Like, it's just, stuff just kind of happens to work out, or it gets swept under the rug, or people just forget about stuff, and then, you know, it doesn't feel like real life, right? And so this show, Parenthood, it's basically like, it's the family tree. There's these two grandparents, the Bravermans, Zeke and Camille, and they're four children who are in very different situations. And I won't give away most of what the show is, but they're encountering all kinds of different like problems that like people just encounter in families all the time. And I'm just gonna like a little bit. You find out pretty early on in the show that two of the main characters, one, their son and his wife, their son has Asperger's, and that's not like special needs is not something that you find in a lot of TV shows, let alone families dealing with that and trying to work their way through that in life. And there's a lot of complications, and like I don't know, the show just it really gets me right in the feels. It gets me right in the feels every time, because like the moments that they have are moments that like everybody normally encounters in life, and you normally, when you watch TV, they just feel like quick and easy resolutions, and to see them work through that, I don't know, it feels very different than TV normally should be, and I don't know, it's really hard to describe.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, I would super highly recommend the show to any of you, the podcast listeners. Definitely you guys. But it's not something that I can watch for, like, light watching. Like, I have to really be into it. Like, I begged Amanda to. We talked about Friends last episode. Yeah. I beg her to watch, like, other TV shows, because she's really all about this right now. And there are some days where I can't handle being so deeply, like, invested in a TV show as we're eating dinner or something. I'll be honest. It's made me cry many times. Like, it's really like, I'm an emotional dude. Podcast listeners, these guys know I'm a pretty emotional guy. But
you lied in the zero episode about you being an emotionless droid of a man. Then,
oh, I've been found out.
You have. You've been discovered.
Dang it. But it really touches that part of me a lot. So it's highly recommended, podcast listeners, if you're looking for a new TV show. It's on Netflix, the Netflix. Look for it, called Parenthood. The other thing I want to mention that I've been listening to a lot, and Elijah, I know you're a huge fan.
Let's not talk about this.
Your face really said it all. But, I want to let you guys know about, because I'm a really big fan of this podcast, and for a couple different reasons. So the podcast is called Drunk Ex-Pastors. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why are you listening to a podcast called Drunk Ex-Pastors? That seems kind of funny. I get it. Actually, they get it themselves, too. And I just think it's a really interesting podcast. It's two guys, Jason and Christian, and they're both former evangelical pastors. Jason's now a Catholic, and Christian is now an agnostic. And so the whole podcast is really just kind of, they're like hour and a half long shows, and it's built around just them bantering about their lives and different topics. They tell stories about stuff that's going on, but they also talk about a lot of different, similar to what we do or what we're trying to do too, different cultural, political, religious topics and stuff. Now their description of the show says they don't know anything about it. But I've enjoyed the show quite a bit. They both have really unique perspectives coming from being former pastors. And I find, actually, and this is kind of funny, I think I mentioned this to you, Elijah, that when I was listening to it, I'm pretty sure these guys actually reference scripture and like theological and church writings more than half of the actual like Christian or church podcasts that I listen to. Because they're both very well informed. Now, I'm not going to say, I obviously wouldn't probably agree with each one of them and everything, but the podcast is really interesting to listen to, and kind of like we say even with ours, how sharing doesn't necessarily always mean agreement. You know, we really talk about conversation here, but I think a lot of the points that they bring up are really good points, and they're worth thinking about. And you know, you may not, as one of our podcast listeners, and I know I don't necessarily arrive at the same conclusions that they always do. But they have some pretty good things to say and some well-informed perspectives. A lot of times, scripturally, even if that's not necessarily what either one of them believes now in their faith. So that's pretty interesting.
I should give them another try.
I tried to listen
to one episode. I couldn't even get through it.
That was probably my fault, because I should have started you on another episode. Like one of their most recent episodes, Yoga Pants, Gay Husbands, and Incest.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. It's, they tend to have relatively inflammatory titles. but yeah, give them a try. They're not for the faint of heart.
Or somebody who is icky about apologetics.
Right. You should probably not be expecting to listen to this with your family, sitting around the family radio after you've come home from work. Podcast listeners who are fathers.
On your way to church.
Yeah, on your way to church. Perhaps not. Do that as you will. Something I recommend. Lastly, this was not going to mention this, but I'm going to anyway, just because I can.
Oh, the humanity.
I know. Kanye.
All right, done. Moving on. 50 Shades of Grey. All right, I'll let you go.
No, it's sad. That's it. We'll leave that where it is,
Kanye.
Podcast listeners. Whether you decide to think about Kanye and the Grammys, or whether you decide to think about how Kanye recently broke Paul McCartney into the music world, or whether you decide to...
Who's Paul McCartney?
You might ask that question. So would Kanye's Twitter followers, evidently, who have not heard of legendary band The Beatles.
Yeah. Well, maybe they've heard of The Beatles, but maybe they just don't know that Paul McCartney...
It could be. And that was the point that I was almost going to make to you before we started recording the podcast, is a lot of these people, if they've never listened to rock and roll music, and if they've grown up listening to hip-hop music, it's not so far out to assume that they might not have heard of the Beatles or Paul McCartney. So,
well, it'd be...
It's ridiculous to me because, I mean, the Beatles, come on.
I would be surprised if they hadn't heard of the Beatles.
Right, yeah.
Because that's just, you know, they're the Beatles. That'd be like, right. I don't know how.
That's a really good argument for that.
That's like, yeah, the Beatles, a priori obvious.
That was flawless reasoning. McAfee, you would eat that up. You retweet this, you reblog this, you... Yeah.
Tell all of your friends about
just this. Just while we're on the topic of McCartney there... and because I like games and now I'm thinking about it, I don't know of McCartney so much from from the Beatles, or I'm not really a huge fan there, but you seem like you're a fan, Dan, of McCartney. So you should check out his music in Destiny, the project was called Music of the Spheres.
Mm.
And yeah, just because you mentioned it, and I was thinking about it. Yeah. So yeah, it's not something that he usually does. He worked in cohesion with composer Martin O'Donnell. Made the music for the video game Destiny.
Destiny. Music of the Spheres.
Music. Well, it's the Destiny soundtrack, and it's very different from normal McCartney stuff.
All right. Yeah. He's a brilliant songwriter, and works a lot. Has done a lot outside and past. You know, the work that he did with the Beatles too, and stuff that clearly displays his abilities as a musician. So.
Never mind. I had a discussion with the people that I work with, and I had said that I'm not a big fan of the Beatles, like you just said, Jacob, mm-hmm. and that struck them as like something almost objectively immoral. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I appreciate their contribution to music. I understand that they're kind of like a root of how music is today.
Yeah.
But given that, they've kind of like laid a foundation, but it's sort of like a blasé foundation that people have built up from there, and music today I think is better than the Beatles, but they were not having that. And I highly doubt that they'll listen to the podcast, but if you are, hey guys, I'm talking about you on the podcast. But anyway, so I mean,
Paul McCartney, friend of the show.
Yeah,
Kanye.
So one of the main topics that I guess I wanted to bring up here is as many of everybody in the whole world knows, is that recently a movie came out called 50 Shades of Grey.
I'm sorry, 50 Shades of what?
50 Shades of Grey.
I've not heard of this.
Yeah.
Is this some newfangled
newfangled hippie hipster movie?
Okay.
You've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be at least... No, there's probably nobody that's not heard of it. But if you've not heard of it, it's basically this new movie that has recently come out, and it's angering everybody everywhere who... Well, it's not angering everybody. Well, it's pretty much angering everybody. Almost everybody. It's a character named... None of us have seen it, by the way. That's going to use that qualifier because I genuinely don't want to see it.
I appreciate the qualifier.
I genuinely don't want to see this movie because I have no interest in this, but...
Though, I don't know if you're going to... I don't want to spoil it. Though, I guess Focus on the Family has watched this movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't...
Anyway.
Received very well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the basic plot of the movie, from what I've gathered from reading a lot about it, is that there's a woman and a rich guy, and the rich guy's like, hey, I have these fantasies, and he shows her his sex dungeon, and then from there it goes on to
should we pause and say that if you are in fact, although I did just mention the Drunk Ex-Pastors podcast,
and
if you are in fact listening to this podcast with your family, we may mention a few things that might demand explanation if you have not had conversations with your kids or they're not informed of the deeply disturbing richness that is the culture around us.
Right. And I did say 50 Shades of Grey.
You
and
did.
If you have a family and you're listening to a podcast with your family and they say 50 Shades of Grey, then you should probably be like, okay, let's not listen to this with my 4-year-old. Anyway, back. Oh, did you have something to say?
I did. I want to say that actually a dream scenario to be listening to a podcast with my 4-year-old daughter. That would be incredible. It would drive my wife nuts because I bring up podcasts and like documentaries that I watch all the time, and she's like, I can't believe that you listen to these because they're just so boring.
They are not boring.
That's what I said. I say that to her. She does not believe me.
Wow.
She, of course, listens to this podcast because it's amazing.
Yeah. Ooh, we should say, hey, Dan's wife, if you're listening to this podcast right now, text Dan and say, hey, nice podcast. But if you don't, man, what if you never get
totally
a text?
Oh, you would have totally got her. We caught her.
We did.
Kind of.
Maybe. If she doesn't text you.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, jumping back to 50 Shades of Grey and how you shouldn't be listening to this with your children. Oh, well, I mean, I guess they might listen. Never mind. The idea is that rich guy was with this woman who basically fell in love or in lust with him, and then he showed her his filthy sex dungeon and was like, well, this is where my desires are a bit unconventional. And from there, make it sound as best as possible, they engage in what is otherwise known as BDSM, and then that's pretty much it. But in reality, it's not so great. But before we get into the actual criticism of this, I wanted to show you what Jacob actually, you showed me this. Yeah. You brought this up, was this Onion, their Onion reviews.
And right now he's thinking, I can't believe you attributed this to me. Now, what are the podcast listeners going to think of
Jacob? Me as a guest? Onion is my only news source.
Sweet. The Fox News is my...
Ooh. Yeah, so... This is a very... I'm not going to play much, because we went through a handful of things from this, and it wasn't really... Even though we made qualifications, it wasn't anywhere close to family-friendly.
We, like, handpicked the part that was PG-13 and not, like, R and C...
Yeah, X, X, X. Anyway, so here is this guy, Peter K. Rosenthal, talking very briefly about 50 Shades of Grey.
Take Mr. Grey's luxury sex dungeon. Does everyone have a designated room in their home outfitted with bondage furniture? Yes, but they sure aren't always as fancy as Mr. Grey's.
So, yeah, that was, what, 10 seconds worth of a review? And so we'll put this in the show notes, but beware that it is explicit. It's really funny, but it's explicit. Anyway, so now let's talk very... I'm going to read something. Something I'm going to say beforehand.
Like a disclaimer.
Like a prelude?
Yeah.
Should we have like a piano playing?
An introduction.
Like Baptist
Church. Do you have a piano on there?
Do I?
Yeah.
I'll
play some... Yeah, just add some piano in.
All right. Yeah, I'll play you a little introduction.
Yeah.
Maybe give it 10, 15 seconds so you can start talking.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Here comes the good part. Here comes the
good part.
Wait for it.
Oh, that was great.
Thank you.
That was really good. Yeah. Okay, so thanks for that, Dan.
Absolutely.
So a lot of the Christian, the blogosphere everywhere has kind of been blowing up about it. And if you follow the blogosphere like I do, and I try to do my best to read as many blogs as I can on any topic that I guess is for what I would like to be informed on, because everyone comes at things with a viewpoint, and so I tend to look at every perspective, and odds are that the correct perspective is somewhere in the middle-ish, with a libertarian gloss on top of it.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, no, I am Ron Swanson. So the Christian blogosphere talks a lot about how it's bad because it is promoting sex out of marriage. And that is pretty much, seems like that's all they're really talking about. But that's the least of the problems. There was this really great article by Jason Wisdom at becauseitstrue.com. He actually is the former
lead singer of Becoming the Archetype.
In English, that was lead singer of Becoming the Archetype.
Yeah, and he now does a band called Solomores, and that's as far as I know recently. But he has
is this friend of the podcast, Jason Wisdom?
I would really hope so. That would be great. But I will mention it to him that we talked about his fantastic article. But it's at becauseitstrue.com. And he says, he does an overview of, in 2013, a study was done by the Department of Human Science at Ohio State University. Study was published in Journal of Women's Health in 2013, and Chris Sullivan, the director of Research Consortium on Gender-Based Violence at MSU, applauded the study. The study was called Double Crap, Abuse and Harmed Identity in 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm going to read about what the study actually said, because it is... Well, I'll just read it. Emotional abuse is present in nearly every interaction, including stalking. Christian is the name of the main character, and Anastasia is the name of the other main character. So stalking is Christian deliberately follows Anastasia and appears in unusual places, uses a phone and computer to track Anastasia's whereabouts, and delivers expensive gifts. Intimidation. Christian uses intimidating verbal and nonverbal behaviors, such as routinely commanding Anastasia to eat and threatening to punish her. And isolation. Christian limits Anastasia's social contact. Sexual violence is pervasive, including alcohol to compromise Anastasia's consent, as well as intimidation. Christian initiates sexual encounters when genuinely angry, dismisses Anastasia's request for boundaries, and threatens her. Anastasia experiences reactions typical of an abused woman, including constant perceived threat, quote, my stomach churns from his threats, unquote, altered identity, she describes herself as a pale, haunted ghost, and stressful managing. She engages in behaviors to keep the peace, such as withholding information about her social whereabouts to avoid Christian's anger. Anastasia becomes disempowered and entrapped in the relationship as her behaviors become mechanized in response to Christian's abuse. This is about the book.
Wow, that was really eye-opening. Is right? This the kind of sex that women fantasize about? Because women are the core reader base, and...
Yeah. Well, the issue with this is I think people are confusing, a specific type of legitimate, I guess there's pleasure out of what bondage and things like that. I don't personally understand it, but there are people who do this stuff, you know, like you've seen it, handcuffs and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, the industry wouldn't, it wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be a reason to sell anything like this or market it to anybody if people didn't use it.
Right. But the issue here is that it's not just promoting, like, this type of thing. It's actually promoting just straight-up emotional and psychological abuse from the man to the woman in the story. And there was an article I read. I don't have it listed up here. I'll see if I can find it. I'll put it in the show notes. But it was talking about a comedian who said that she was going to go see this and review it in a funny way. You know, oh, it's 50 Shades of Grey, and they had sex on the floor, blah, blah, blah. But she could not bring herself to write a review about this in a way that was anything close to comedic. And she spent the entire review basically saying that this was nothing short of just torture and torment for this woman in the movie.
That sounds like something I'd like to do to my wife.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. Yeah, make her into a pale, haunted ghost that her stomach churns from your threats. It's really great. You know, wow.
This is like, that sounds like very Stockholm syndrome. Like, yeah. She's so exposed to that over and over again that it just becomes like there's a security in it or something. It's weird. I don't understand it, but.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't get it. And I've noticed that a lot of people are going to see it, and I don't understand why. I guess I get it from a social perspective. Oh, this is promoting some kind of promiscuous sexual behavior, and it's on the big screen. Let's go see it to kind of, I don't know, buck against the system or something. But to be honest, I mean, just looking at the interrelationship, the relationship between the main characters, it seems like this is promoting a ridiculously unhealthy view of relationships. And plus, there's a guy that I interact with regularly on Twitter, and he tends to like this BDSM-type stuff, and he says that they do it wrong. So,
like in the book or in the...
Yeah, like in the movie that's portrayed wrong. Huh. Like it's meant to be restrictive and minimal pain.
I don't imagine it's supposed to be abusive.
Yeah.
Well, actually abusive.
Exactly. So even if...
Seems that would go against like the entire reason people would participate in it.
Right. Because some people like pain. I'm not going to deny that this is a reality. But when it's coupled with emotional abuse and it's just straight up violence towards women, this is not something that we should be promoting in any sense.
Yeah, and aside from the other things that what was his name?
Christian?
No, the guy who wrote the article?
Jason Wisdom.
Friend of the show, Jason Wisdom?
Yeah. He wrote the article, but he quoted a study called, it was by Bonomi and Altenenberger and Walton.
Okay, so aside from the harmful effects, aside from the harmful effects that they listed there, plus the normal thing that Christendom is saying about just promoting promiscuous sex outside of marriage, I feel like it's so. I've heard multiple times that it's talking about this is porn for women, and we all know about how pornography for men can destroy a relationship because men identify with that and then try and recreate that experience with their wife, and it ends up falling short because it's a lot messier in real life.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot harder. And so in this, it's promoting an unrealistic expectation. So I don't know how a woman looks at this type of abuse and says, this is something I want, but apparently it is, because otherwise it wouldn't have been such a huge hit.
Yeah. I have no idea.
But so they desire this level of confidence in a man, except men that truly love their women, their wives, their girlfriends, again, sex outside of marriage, that's not what we're promoting here, but men who truly love their wives don't want to harm their wives like that. And for some reason they're desiring this, and they want to, if it's the same way as porn for women as porn for men, they're going to try and recreate this experience and end up harming themselves in the long run.
Even if they don't recreate the experience, but they were, you know, impacted by reading about it and, you know, felt emotionally engaged, even if they don't recreate it, any other experience that they have that is not this thing that they have envisioned in their mind then would fall short of this ideal or the standard that they've set for, you know, what a relationship or what that should feel like.
Yeah, they will forever be comparing their husbands to Christian Grey and his enormous wealth. And
that brings up an interesting thing that I heard somebody say, could you imagine if instead of a rich, handsome, fit man, it was like, you know, 55, 60, balding, fat guy who was doing this to his, like, his girlfriend? Could you imagine that I can't imagine that this would be, I mean, I don't mean to be a shot against that, like, but I mean, just looking at a handsome guy versus an ugly guy, I mean, come on, I highly doubt this would sell in any way, shape, or form.
And that's the unrealistic expectation, because we might be some okay looking guys at this table, but we're not as good looking as whatever the actress name, the guy who acts Christian Grey.
Yeah, I know.
That's not a realistic thing. We're not Brad Pitt and Matt Damon sitting at this table here.
We're close though. We're pretty darn close. Know.
That beard does do you a favor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Dornan.
Yeah, Dornan.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. This was something that that was briefly discussed, I think. It was in another context, but on the Drunk Ex-Pastors podcast I was listening to last week, where they were talking about, I think it was in relation to that whole yoga pants debacle that came up again online, but they were talking about how... For women, you know, women sometimes engage differently and are, so I'm just going to go back to what you said a second ago, in that, I think women a lot of times want to feel a sense of security, and we're certainly not getting into, I guess, relationship roles. That's an entirely different podcast topic, but, women like to have a sense of security and, more driven by emotional connection and things like that. And so those are traits of Christian in this movie that are that, you know, so he's rich. So their provisions would be taken care of. You know, they don't have to worry about anything concerning having money or paying bills or wealth or anything in that sense. And so I thought that was interesting. They brought that up, that it it goes beyond even just the relationship itself, but his position in that relationship as being like this provider that you have nothing to worry about, despite all this other garbage, you know, that accompanies that, that there is an emotional need that, you know, that may in some way feel satisfied by his position or his status or something like that. Weird.
Yeah. Well, actually, at this point, I think we should probably pause and maybe have a nice little interlude.
Yeah, we can arrange for that.
Yeah.
Same pianist?
Yeah, same pianist.
Okay.
But I'm playing a minor key this time.
Okay. All right, I'll see what I can cook up.
And we'll be back with Jacob and some questions about gaming and things like that.
Well, since we're splitting this podcast up into two parts, we just want to take a second to close out for this episode. I just want to remind you guys, remember, you can find all of our show notes up at livechristianly.com, along with links to where you can listen to the podcast and connect with us online via social media.
Media.
If you like our show, we would be super appreciative if you share our page on Facebook. That'd be awesome. We might even give you a shout out on air. I think we could probably arrange that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, if you paid us enough. you can also contact us on Twitter at LiveChristianly. Be sure to include the hashtag LCPod if you have a reference to something you heard in a recent episode. And LCCooks if you are making a meal suggestion for us. Or you can also, we welcome this, so you leave a message for us at 716-79-LC-POD. That's 7952763.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll leave you here for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again on the next episode with our exclusive interview with Jacob Thompson.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, guys.
Bye.